Hello and welcome to Teacher Talks, the podcast where I, Richard Kurtz, reconnect with my former high school science students to uncover the journeys that they've embarked on since graduating from high school. I'm a semi-retired New York public high school science teacher. During the 34 years that I taught in the classroom, I encountered the challenges and the bliss of working with young people. I've always been curious about what happened to my former students, and I have questions. How did their early educational experience affect their lives? What are they doing now, and what can educators, parents, and current students learn from the retrospective views and current life of former high school science students? I have tracked down many of my former students for my podcast to get answers to my questions. Join me, Mr. Kurtz, as my former students teach the teacher. So I'm really excited to have a conversation today with one of my favorite students ever, and that is Andrea. And Andrea graduated in 1998 from Huntington High School. And I think you were in my biology class. Mm-hmm. I just want to say hello, and so happy that you could be here with me.
Yeah, thank you so much. So if memory serves correctly, it was 10th grade AP bio.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's I had you in my class. I remember that.
Exactly. And I still live in the same town that I went to high school in, which is probably not so uncommon for Long Islanders.
Well, Huntington's a great town, so I don't blame you for wanting to stay there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Like, I know I'll get to what you're doing now, but when you were in high school, did you have any specific goals, or, you know, as you're traveling through your career as a high school student, did you have any things that, okay, I think I want to be this or whatever? Did you have a defined thing?
Yeah, I think I grew up surrounded by science. So both my parents are PhDs. My father has his degree in immunogenetics and my mother in biochemistry. They took their science degrees and went into industry. So I guess maybe the path was predestined for me. So being surrounded by it, it was just something I was always interested in. And I did all of the AP science classes. But biology for me, and probably, again, because of my parents, was always just the most interesting to me. I loved it, and I still love it. I, you know, made a career out of it.
So what was your, when you went to, what university did you go to?
So I went to McGill University in Montreal.
Right.
Yeah, so we have that Canadian connection.
Right, because I'm from Canada, and oh, I remember talking to you about that a lot, like when you were making your decision.
Yeah.
So you went to McGill. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And you were one of my reference letters, actually. Yeah. So my mom is Canadian, and therefore I, through descendancy, got Canadian citizenship. And I mean, today it's even crazier, but when you're looking at costs of universities and colleges, you can't compare to a Canadian university. Right. And you might know a little bit more about this, but somehow it's subsidized by the government there. So it's infinitely cheaper to go to school there. And actually, there's something even more with universities in Quebec. It's even less expensive.
Wow.
So my parents kind of told me, like, this is where you're probably going to go. Truth be told, it was one of the best decisions they made for me. And in part because McGill is really strongly scientifically focused. So I did my bachelor's in neurobiology, and they're really well known for that.
Yes.
So I feel like I got a top-notch education, albeit combined with the coldest 4 years of my life.
So when you were there, like, what was your path of career path? What were you thinking of? Like, when you started, I want to be what? What did you want to be?
So I guess the path, you know, like most bio majors, most students at some point assume they're going to go into medicine. And I was no different. I thought maybe that's what I was going to be. I was going to be a doctor. I'm going to get my bachelor's in bio. and then continue on. But I picked up a minor in biotechnology, which was like a pretty nascent area of study at the time. And by the end of those 4 years, I realized that I too wanted to marry my interests of science and business and parlay that into a career. So when you
were graduating, so you said, okay, I know I'm not going to be a doctor. I want to do something else. You obviously came back to the United States.
I did.
And so tell me a little, because I know you work for a fantastic company now, very world famous.
Yeah.
What was your trajectory after you graduated?
Yeah, not so smooth. So it was the early 2000s when I graduated, and the job market back then wasn't great. So I was able, through someone I knew, to get a job in Manhattan at a boutique advertising agency. And we handled some really fun and cool accounts like Godiva and Bombay Sapphire Gin and Jeffrey Bean and the Food Network. But the truth was, I wasn't using my degree, which I worked really hard to get.
Yes.
So after a stopover at a smaller life science company back on Long Island, I landed at the organization I'm at today as a product manager. So my first job was a product manager for PCR reagents.
So
the company is Eppendorf. It's a German-based company in the life science industry. We develop, manufacture, and distribute instrumentation, consumables, and services that are used in laboratories worldwide. And back then in 2005, I was hired as a product manager for PCR reagents. And I was going to say 5 years ago, nobody knew what PCR it is or was, but now it's synonymous with COVID testing. So my job really involved the reagents that enabled that amplification of DNA for testing. So it was actually the project management experience that I gained at the ad agency, which had nothing to do with the scientific world whatsoever, that attracted me to the Eppendorf hiring manager. So that commute was pretty rough going into Manhattan every day. While it was fun, I wasn't using my degree, but ultimately it really is what led me to where I am today. And it's nearly two decades later.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I find it fascinating how one thing leads to another. Yeah. And you sort of went to a different direction, then you came back to your original goal of working in biotech.
Yeah.
And tell me a little bit about, like, your company, obviously. You know, I'm a science teacher. Everyone knows Eppendorf. You know, they're the best pipettes. You know, we'd love to have them. In fact, you know, I've gotten some pipettes and equipment from you, you're always so gracious and grateful for. But tell me, like what's it like to work for this company? What is your current position? You know, how did you get to that point?
Yeah. So, firstly, Eppendorf. Maybe many people outside the scientific world have no clue, but maybe you do. So if you were watching a show like a CSI or any of those shows where they're doing lab scenes, oftentimes they're in fact showing our equipment. So you'll see an actor pipetting or spinning a tube in a centrifuge. So you may or may not have encountered that in your personal lives, regardless of whether you're in the scientific industry. I think it's also interesting, I did a lot of lab work throughout college. I had internships, I did work in labs, and I remember pipetting and being like, I don't know if I want to sit at a lab bench every day and do tedious pipetting work. And then I just also find it ironic that I now work for the company that invented the pipette. So that always, you know, kind of gives me a little chuckle that it really did come full circle in that respect. So I started as a product manager in marketing. I kind of bopped around a little bit within the organization. I handled the applications group. I came back into marketing. I handled you know, our events, trade shows, printed material. I really jumped around a lot. I had a lot of different managers. I learned different parts of the organization. And then about 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago, our president said, yeah, we need to start a website and we need to be able to have some e-commerce functionality. And we want you to run it. And I was like, well, I don't know. I really enjoy what I'm doing right now.
Did you have experience on web stuff?
None whatsoever.
Okay, that's so cool.
Nothing. Yeah.
But why do you think they asked you?
I don't know. I think one of the keys to my success has been I'm a really responsive person. You write me an email, I'm going to write you right back.
Yes, that is true.
You give me a problem, I see it through until resolution. And maybe that's the skill set they thought that would be most suited to this newfangled web thing that we were doing. But, you know, when you're asked something by the president or in your organization, the truth is it's not an ask. You're voluntold to do this. This mm-hmm. is what you're now going to do. So I reluctantly took it on. But man, what a time to take it on. So the trajectory of e-commerce, especially in the life science industry, has just been pretty astronomical. And the pandemic really fueled that. So it really has been a fun 10 years, like building something from scratch and seeing it grow to, I now manage over 200 million euro on an annual basis through this website.
You know, it's interesting, like just to talk, like people who are listening to this and teacher talks, I think it's coming very clear that, you know, you have a set of basics, great skill in a lot and basic fundamental skills. And you can apply that to so much. And I think your boss recognized that, right? So it's not like you're not pigeonholed and you're ready to take on the world. Like if you get a challenge, that's probably, oh, I got the skills to do this, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it was not something I wanted to do. I was like, oh, but I'm so good at doing this product management stuff, this traditional marketing stuff. Like, don't take me away from that. I really enjoy it. But I really needed somebody to push me into doing this. And that at that time was just our North American office. And then what happened is we went through a little bit of a restructuring in the organization, and I was able to take on a global role because no one else in the company had this e-commerce experience. So for the first time, this is back in 2017, 2018, a German company was willing to take on one of their managers to be American and lead a global group. And that never would have happened in any other role. It was this e-commerce role that really allowed me to take on the global group.
Do you travel a lot for your work? Do you interact with the people in other countries?
I do. I travel quite a bit. And it's something I really do enjoy. I'd say pre-COVID, I traveled a lot more. So that definitely has shifted. There was a point in time where I was going to Germany every single month for a week at a time. So I'd leave on a Sunday night, land there Monday morning, go straight to the office, and then fly home on a Friday. It kind of became routine, so it was okay. You know, people really within airports get to know you.
Yes.
Hotels, they get to know you.
Yeah. So if you're like looking back at your career, which, you know, it's, you know, you still have lots to go and who knows what's going to happen, right? The future is so, so unknown. And let's say you're a parent and also you're a student. What advice would you give to a young high school student maybe who's looking for ideas about careers and just not specifically about your career, but just in general about careers and choices?
Yeah, gosh. I mean, so for me, I'm not sure where I stop and my job begins. So while it's really challenging, I think I found something I love. And that love started with science. And somehow I was able to turn that into a career. You know, you have to find something that gives you that tingle down your spine. And I think if you find that, you're going to execute at a high level, ultimately. Don't do, I guess, what you love. Just love what you do.
Yes.
Because sometimes being interested in a task is essential to being good at it. Yeah, and I guess in terms of success, you know, there you just have to be willing to grind it out. Sometimes it's not a brilliant idea. It's because you're really willing to work hard. And yeah, that's the key also to success. And that's the key to success in school, in your career. Yeah, that's the best I can offer.
That's the advice you'd give your daughter, I'm assuming.
Working hard and being focused is something we work on a lot. Now she's only 6 years old. But you know, I also felt, and you know, if there are parents listening to this, my parents pushed me. They really did. They were really involved. Like I remember one year, like I didn't get into like an AP English class. They were at the school, like seeing what could I do to get into it. And they weren't helicopter parents as you characterize them today, but they were really involved in my education and they cared. And they both worked full times themselves. They traveled a ton. So, you know, they had busy lives, but they really were involved in what I was doing. And I am very much trying to replicate that with my child.
Wow. It's fun. I have so many good memories of you in class and your cohort of friends who were wonderful. That was such a great group. Oh my God. It's like, you know, I remember certain students of that time and a lot of like nerdy kids, but a lot of fun. Like it was really an interesting time and I really enjoyed it. You know, it's been fascinating and so much fun to talk to you. I've followed your career because, you know, you've been so helpful to when I was working at Comac and just your generosity throughout the whole area of Long Island. I think a lot of students don't know that how much you gave of your, you know, donations and stuff like that. That was so wonderful. So I just want to thank you. And I've been looking forward to this interview for a long time. And I think you're one of the few students that I've really, really kept in touch with like all the time. So I hope that will continue. And I thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure. And I, you know, being able to talk to some of your students over the years and allow them to experience some of our equipment. You know, maybe they're future buyers, who knows? But nonetheless, you know, it was really just gratifying to be able to give equipment that we were going to throw out or we couldn't use anymore because it was opened, and contributing back to the community, even though you were no longer at my high school, but another one. I don't know, getting the next round of kids interested in science, especially girls in school. That's a really big passion of mine. Making sure we're setting up the next future.
Yes. I remember bringing a group of students, they were doing a project. And you had introduced one, like we were using some of your equipment at your facility. And then also there was a scientist that was helping those students. I think each one of those students now, one of them I know, is like a big eye surgeon. And there's that group, there was a lot, that project had such an impact on kids. So you never know how you're going to affect people. And I just want to thank you again for being with me and talking to our audience today. So I want to say goodbye, and I really appreciate it.
For sure. This really was fun, and like on a personal level, like it's really special that we still keep in touch.
Thank you. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.